Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. There is a story of a man who was trying to go on a diet, but his one vice was his craving for donuts. His coworkers were encouraging him, but one day he came into the office with 2 dozen donuts. And shocked, one of the employees said, "What are you doing? What about your diet? What are you going to do?" And the man replied, he says, "Well, on my way to work, I was praying." And he says, "I told the Lord if there was a parking space open in front of the donut shop, that would be a sign for me." So sure enough, 8 times I went around the block, and there it was. Sometimes we are faced with the temptation to go a route that is not best for us. It's that way in life as well. Temptation is something that we all have to deal with. It has been said that temptation is a condition conducive to sinning for most people just remaining conscious. We face it every day. And of course, it is the subject of today's gospel. But first, I want to review what temptation is, and this is nothing new to us. We have all heard this. Some try to compare temptation to that of being tested by God. Remember, God does indeed test us at times. However, testing from God will never entice us to do evil. It will only strengthen us in our walk with Him. Temptation, on the other hand, is the enticement to sin. Listen to what James tells us. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So temptation is a confrontation with an evil desire that is our sin nature, to ignore what God is telling us to do. Temptation would tell us to put ourselves ahead of God and His word given to us. Again, remember that temptation is not a sin. Sin is following through on what temptation tries to tell us. Now let's look at Adam and Eve. They had this perfect relationship. All their needs were met, right? Everything they needed was right there. They were in perfect union with God. Free will to choose to follow or not to follow. God didn't want puppets. He wanted to let us choose by our free will. But when they were tempted, they chose by free will to go in another direction. And when they bit that forbidden fruit, their hearts were open to sin and evil. And at that point, sin became a part of the human condition, separating us from that which is in a perfect relationship with God. It was also at that point that God began to chart a course for redemption. From the moment he told Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel," he was telling Satan that the Messiah is on the way. And here's where we come full circle. Man and woman became imperfect through sin. Jesus comes, God incarnate, in the form of a man, a perfect man without sin. He is baptized, set apart as God's own son. He is called the second Adam. And look what happens. I want you to understand this. Jesus wasn't just walking along and then was tempted, like we come across temptation every day. We are told that he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. In the vernacular that Mark uses, Jesus went on the offense. Jesus, in his human state, went face to face with the very enemy that tempted the first humans. And in his human state, not only did he face the enemy, he conquered the enemy. Here's another important point. This is not a matter of seeing if Jesus would sin. It was a matter of proving that Jesus would not sin. So there was Jesus in this state of praying and fasting. Then the temptation came from the very one that tempted the first couple. And the irony here is that Adam and Eve were tempted to become like God, and the temptation of Jesus was to bring him lower than God, to be less than who he is. We need to understand the very human side of Jesus was in the same condition as Adam and Eve's human nature before sinning. They were not God, but their human nature was just as perfect as Jesus's human nature. He is in his human state, Jesus felt every bit of the temptation that Adam and Eve felt, and as we feel. As we read other accounts of this encounter, we know that Jesus was tempted in several ways. He was tempted by food. He was tempted with power. If you just come down and worship Satan. Finally, he was tempted to test God by jumping off of a high place. We also notice in two of the temptations, Satan is asking Jesus a question. If you are the Son of God, jump. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks to bread. He is trying to get Jesus to prove who he is by doing something that would pull him away from his true identity and calling. Satan is offering false hope and distorting scripture in his tempting. Jesus, on the other hand, is assuring himself of who he is by the truth of the scriptures and resisting temptation. In every answer, Jesus responds with these words, "It is written." In every answer of scripture, that is the very word of God, is giving the word given by the word made flesh, strength and truth. This was the first step in the ministry of Jesus to do something that mankind has failed to do, the power to resist evil by staying on course that he was on. And in doing so, he was clearing a path, and that path is to do something tremendous for you and me. And this is how I think this speaks to us today for this moment. We have to realize that we have inherited everything that has been given to us from the beginning of mankind. All of us are tempted in every way imagined to separate us from the truth that we have in Christ. We start to recognize it in our youth. I don't know about you, but every time I can remember lots of times rebelling against my parents and telling them I can do something better than they can. Many times we are pushed to the limit and then we must make a choice out of our own free will. When Adam and Eve took the first bite of that fruit, they were telling God they could make a change in their own lives, and that is the temptation that we face every day. I can do it my own way, not God's way. I don't need God's guidance. I don't need God to provide me any direction. Now, of course, again, God gives us reason, God gives us a brain, but we need to allow him to guide us in all of that. That is what we have inherited. It is our sin nature. We saw a tragedy unfold this week in Florida. And we'll be sitting and trying to analyze, why would this young man do that? What evil forced him to do such a thing? And as much as we try to analyze such a tragic event, it is born out of a person's heart to do evil. Jesus said, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts and desires. Some may ask, well, where was God? God does not take away our free will to choose. We have that freedom to choose. Now, I know this all sounds gloomy at this point, but I do have great news for all of us. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus has come into the world. He is tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. He conquered death by his resurrection and has given us the Holy Spirit so that we too can overcome temptation. When we invite Christ into our lives, to come into our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, something happens. And the more we surrender those parts of our lives that we hold on to, the more we become Christ-like. The inheritance of sin nature becomes less and less as Christ becomes more and more. As we allow ourselves to grow, we become transformed into the nature of Christ by His Spirit. We then need to trust Him. When He says, "I have a work for you to do," we need to trust Him. When He says, "I will walk you through this because this is my path for you," we need to trust Him. That goes for all, as all individuals in this parish as well. And us as a ministry as a whole, we need to trust Him. Jesus had faith in the assurance of who He was, the mission that He was on. He not only had the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Him, but He also had the very Word of God to back Him up. He is the Word made flesh. And that is exactly what we have in us by His Spirit. That is what He has given us. He takes each one of us and makes us into something wonderful and glorious. This week, this space that we're sitting in is going to be transformed as we go into our annual flower festival. There will be arrangements of flowers depicting God's created story. Every arrangement will tell a story. But the story that each arrangement tells will begin with a flower that only God can create. None would tell the story without God's intervention into telling that story. He is part of it. And that is what He does with us. He takes a life, gives it new life. He shapes and molds it. He gives us a path to walk, a path through which He desires to accomplish His will. And out of all of that comes a new story. Out of all of that comes new life. Out of all of that comes a thing of beauty. What is God creating you, in you? You need to know that each of you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is molding you into something wonderful. And that is a lifelong process. Following the lead of the Holy Spirit might seem like it's a scary thing at times when you think about it. But listen, God will never lead you astray. He's not going to make you travel around a metaphoric donut shop until there's a parking place that opens up. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows how much you can handle and can only be given at a certain time. Let us rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior and a God who loves us so much that He is willing to become one of us. Let us rejoice in the fact that we don't have to succumb to the temptations of life. Let us rejoice in knowing that God, through Christ, has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to sustain us, and strengthen us, and to keep us in His perfect will as we allow ourselves to be open to Him. And let us rejoice that He has given us His Word written through the ages, that we too can share with others as He opens that door for us. So as we step into this new season of Lent, let us remember that God desires so much for us as we trust in Him. During the season of Lent, I want to encourage you to read His Word. Get to a point that you know that He wants to guide you and trust that He will. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you as you step out of this place. I've said it before, church is not just what we do here on the weekend. Church is what we do all the time, every day of the week. We are the church, the body of Christ, doing His will in the world around us so that it too can see who Christ is, and they see it through us. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You are doing in each of our lives. And Father, as we open this place up to You this week and we open it up to the community, we ask, Father, that we would be examples as people come into this place. As we reach, as they come to us and see the creations that have been made, that we will be able to reach out to them, Lord, and share your love and the truth of who you are as well as you open those doors. So, Father, we give this week to you. We thank you for your word that strengthens us. We thank you that we can stand firm in our faith and that when temptation comes our way, we can stand firm in knowing who you are and the call that you have placed on our lives and not be swayed by the ways of the world. So, Father, we ask that you would encourage us in that walk, that you would continue to surround us and strengthen us in all that you have for each and every single one of us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.